Jay, first of all, appreciate the chance to sit down. We always enjoy these conversations. I look at your fiscal year, 30% over a year ago plus. For me, just looking at it, it's interesting to see things like agronomy doing better than maybe the energy sector. It's got to be somewhat unusual.
It really is for CHS. Energy has been a really strong performer under our Senex brand. But really, our energy segment was a segment that really felt the brunt of the COVID impacts for any energy company, as people just didn't move around, didn't drive, particularly in the high density areas of the country. Areas in North Dakota, northern Minnesota still drove a lot, didn't see a lot of impact there, but where a lot of consumption occurs on the coasts really shut down, and that impacted really energy margins everywhere. But at the same time, as we progressed through the year, we saw the economy start to pick back up and those volumes start to grow, and we, inched back towards normal. So early parts of the year were a little bit difficult in our energy segment, but as we progressed through the year, it really came around nicely.
There's so many macro issues that are out there today, whether it's the pandemic or what we're dealing with this supply bottleneck that we have. How healthy would you say CHS is and the ag sector today?
I think really healthy, but we're not. Nobody's immune to some of the issues that you just raised, Don. And some of them that probably are impacting ag the most right now are things like fertilizer, where the supply and demand is a little bit out of kilter right now due to a number of factors, and prices really have just jumped in ways that none of us saw coming. And that's going to be an impact for agriculture. At the same time, crops were grown. Crop was generally better for most areas than people expected. Some areas really felt the brunt of the drought, but even areas that were drier than they would have preferred to be saw crop production levels being higher than they thought. So that's kind of led to some pretty good volumes that I think is going to be good for the U.S. farmer.
We've seen buying behaviors change somewhat. Decisions are being made earlier in the season. We're on to take possession of product now, maybe earlier than would in a normal year. Is that a one-time thing, or is that? Do you think we're changing habits for a longer term?
I don't know. I think it's a little bit too early to tell. I think right now a lot of that's being driven by things like fertilizer, where people want to buy right now and thinking the price is going up, and so therefore own now. But I think it's a little too early to tell if really agriculture goes in early. I think the thing that is going to be a little interesting to see is how do people look at suppliers? And because I know people that have equipment, are suffering parts shortages and things of that nature, that I think it's going to be interesting to see how that sorts out.
So, we've gone through those periods in agriculture where we've had a lot of consolidation, mergers and those kind of things. Do you see that anything like that's on the horizon, or are we, because of the economy, that's not the case?
No, I think that is on the horizon, but I also, I just can speak for CHS, and working really, really hard at really raising our game in all fronts, and we think that's the steps we need to take to be a better and better company. And if mergers and acquisitions come along, so be it, and we will engage with that, and we will take that. But many times that's a little bit outside your control when that happens. And meanwhile, let's work hard at making it a better company and performing better with what we operate today on. And that's frankly what we got our head on.
We talked about these macro issues. One conversation having today about the whole focus moving towards electrical vehicles, and with CHS being so involved in the energy sector, and certainly it's got to impact your farmers as well. How do you look at things like that long term?
Yeah, we think electric vehicles are going to be increasingly a force in transportation across this country. We look at these changes, whether it be that one that you raise on electric vehicles or increased renewable fuels like renewable diesel and things of that nature, we think those are opportunities. And that's the mindset we have to have, is how do we adapt and grow in those environments? Because it's just not a winning play to just push back and argue against. The play to win is to lean in, look for the opportunities that present themselves, adapt as the markets change. And that's how that's the attitude we're going to have. So through that, we're going to see opportunities. I think in some cases, we are a heavy diesel company. that sells to farmers for farm equipment machinery. I think there's going to be, you know, we'll see how fast electrification comes in those segments. But we also know that's it's going to be part of the energy needs of the country, and we'll adapt to it.
You had a facility that was down with the hurricane down at the Gulf. We're looking at vessels on the West Coast waiting to drop off containers. How are you guys maneuvering through some of that stuff?
Pretty well. We are back up in our Myrtle Grove, Louisiana export facility. We were impacted by Hurricane Ida. It really was a significant hurricane that came through there. In some respects, it was worse than Katrina for some facilities. But we are back up and operating, and volumes are good off the Gulf Coast. PNW working well. In fact, you know, we're just thrilled with the volumes that we're able to push through our Pacific Northwest assets. Many of those volumes come in from North Dakota and northern Minnesota, and just really happy to see how we can connect those buyers around the world with the farmers and producers that sit, you know, in the areas we just spoke of. Just connecting those people on both ends is really what we're about.
Not necessarily CHS being involved, but we got a lot of soybean processing coming into a state like North Dakota and really some of the surrounding areas as well. How does that change agriculture in our footprint in your home turf?
Yeah, Don, I think it's going to impact significantly. I think it's going to impact significantly. I mean, the question is, where do additional crush plants get built and how many of them get built? Largely being driven by renewable diesel. It's the demand for soy oil that's really driving this. And I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to be building more crush plants that are driven for soy oil, but the soy meal is going to come with it. What's interesting is what you just pointed out, is how does that impact the foreign buyer of the soybeans? When you build additional crush capacity, that's going to go for those beans. So, and also, how does this country and the world adapt to the U.S. potentially exporting more soybean meal? Versus in the past, we didn't export all that much of it. So this is really, I think, is going to be a new dynamic within agriculture. I think it's going to be good for the farmer, though, because these processing plants get built. Generally, the farmer is a winner through that, and I think you're going to see more of them built.
We're going to obviously help our basis, those kind of things, in our region. Another issue, labor. I got a question. This world's changed post-COVID. You've got, I'm sure there's still a lot of people working from home, those kind of things. Where are we finding the people? What are we going to do for your co-ops and CHS in total?
Yeah, so I guess the thing I say to everybody on CHS's staff is we are all in the recruiting business. We're all in the recruiting business because this labor issue is just the way you described it. It's hard. And frankly, in lots of our rural areas, it's always been hard. But now it's really at a different level. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody's got their finger on exactly why that is the case. We could all talk about some contributing factors. And it's a question of, you know, are these contributing factors permanent? Is this kind of a phase or what do we have? Nevertheless, we have to work with what we have. And what we have is a workforce that's moving around significantly and a workforce that, you know, the numbers are challenging in terms of how many are leaving the workforce versus how many are coming into it. And then when you compound that with rural areas and the numbers that you work with, it's really a challenge. So our kind of a playbook is going to be, we have a great story to tell. We and the people that own us are in the business of feeding people around the world. It's a very powerful story, and it really plays into the fact that people generally want to work for a company and in an industry that's about more than just they are, and really is about something deeper. And we have that story. We have that story, and the people that own us have that story. And that's what I think is going to be our advantage to attract the best talent. It's always going to be a challenge, but I really like our story and our ability to attract people that really want to make a difference in the world.
You've been really gracious with your time. I really appreciate the chance to connect.
Don, it's always good to talk with you and talk with your listeners in that area.
Perfect.